Good to see everybody out on a cool evening. Cool, crisp evening. Came across something I'm going to read to you first before we open up to Mark. Well, I can open up to Mark 12 while you're at it. As I'm turning to this, but I saw this on one of the other teachers' desks up at school. I've been subbing for this biology teacher that has a torn retina. It fell out your way, Irma. Jay Pisani up on the South Creek Road going back in towards town. But a biology teacher, and he's got a kind of, I guess he's got a torn retina. He had problems last Thursday, so he's been out all week. So it's been interesting getting reintroduced to 15-year-old and 14-year-old behavior on a regular basis. But one of the things I saw, it probably was off of an email, but one of the things I saw up there was, today we mourn the passing of a beloved old friend by the name of Common Sense, who's been with us for many years. No one knows for sure how old he was, since his birth records were long ago lost in bureaucratic red tape. He will be remembered as having cultivated such valued lessons as knowing when to come in out of the rain, why the early bird gets the worm, and that life isn't always fair. Common Sense lived by simple, sound financial policies. Don't spend more than you earn. And reliable parenting strategies. Adults, not kids, are in charge. His health began to deteriorate rapidly when well-intentioned but overbearing regulations were set in place. Reports of a 6-year-old boy charged with sexual harassment for kissing a classmate. Teens suspended from school for using mouthwash after lunch. And a teacher fired for reprimanding an unruly student only worsened his condition. Now you can see it's a little bit of a bias towards educators so far. It declined even further when the schools were required to get parental consent to administer aspirin to a student, but could not inform the parents when a student became pregnant and wanted to have an abortion. And that's still the vogue in the United States. Amazing. Finally, Common Sense lost the will to live. As the Ten Commandments became contraband, churches became businesses, and criminals received better treatment than victims. Common Sense finally gave up the ghost after a woman failed to realize that a steaming cup of hot coffee was hot, spilled in her lap, and was awarded a huge settlement by the courts. Common Sense was preceded in death by his parents, truth and trust, his wife, discretion, his daughter, responsibility, and his son, reason. He's survived by two stepbrothers, my rights, and I'm a whiner. Not many attended his funeral because so few realized that he was gone. If you still know him, pass this on. If not, you can give him a second death. I thought that was rather interesting, cute, you know, probably something off an internet, but boy, isn't it the truth in today's society? You know, our society has moved so far away from common sense. Where did we get our common sense from? Get it from the scriptures, right? The Holy Spirit. Get some from experience. You don't have to spill too many cups of hot coffee to find that out. I hope. You know, otherwise really a little bit slow there. But as I was thinking, you know, where do we get common sense? And boy, I'm thankful for the upbringing I've had here at the chapel, the upbringing I've had at home by my parents, and in how to treat one another, and how the Holy Spirit teaches us things through the Word. Even, you know, even you read passages over 5, 10, over many times in our lifetime, probably 30, 40 times, we've read most passages, you know, that are familiar to us in the New Testament, many of the stories in the Old, and you still get something out of it, you know, and you say, why didn't I see that before? You know, it's kind of like common sense, you know, why didn't I see that before? And yet the Holy Spirit keeps revealing things to us if we're receptive to listening. A lot of these instances I read about just now, the people just weren't receptive to what was right and what was intelligent and what was good for the people. I was reading recently in this section in Mark and also the comparable passage in Matthew 22, 37-39. But in Mark chapter 12, let's look at, do I have the wrong chapter here? Let's see. In Mark chapter 12, as soon as the speaker gets to it, let's look at verse 28. One of the scribes came. This is towards the end of Jesus' ministry, getting ready for the Olivet Discourse. And One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, that Jesus had answered the Sadducees well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. To love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. They had asked him prior to this, the one about do you pay taxes, or is it right to pay taxes? Lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? And then they asked the parable about if a man's brother die the wife winds up with all seven of the brothers, who's she going to be in the kingdom, And first the Pharisees came, the Herodians talked to him about the tribute, and then the Sadducees talked to him about the wedding, the person dying over and over, or the wife being married over and over. And then lastly here, why the Pharisees come to him and ask him about the greatest commandment. And to the Jew, this was ingrained in him, right? This statement of Moses was just ingrained in Jewish people, Jewish men, Jewish children, as they were brought up. And it says in the Deuteronomy that you'll teach your child in the way, in the house, and in the way, and when you're traveling. All the time, it was a time to be using illustrations, using the things around you to teach your children about spiritual things. And this was another, the Lord our God is one Lord. There is but one God. Secondly, you shall love the Lord with all your heart. And that speaks to us, I think, a little bit of emotions, for me anyway. It speaks of the emotions. When the fellow answered Christ in this one, he said, Well, Master, thou hast said, to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding. And the second one that Jesus said was with all your soul. With all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all the soul. And to me, the soul is just deeper than just emotion. There's a depth. When you think of the soul, there's a depth there from their very being. With the heart, our heart goes pitter-patter and all that kind of stuff, when you, in youth, but the heart is an emotional thing. And many of our brothers and sisters in Christ are very emotional in their worship, charismatics. But here we're talking about, when you talk about the soul, to me that reaches in deeper. Do we love the Lord with our heart, with our emotions? Do we get emotional about the Lord? Do we weep sometimes when we consider what he's done for us? When we see things in the scriptures, does it really bring tears to our eyes? But then with our soul, do we really get into the deep things of God? I shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. How much do we challenge ourselves? We talk about common sense, but how much really do we challenge ourselves in reading the scriptures and studying the scriptures? Maybe doing word searches. I've been reading the book by Josh McDowell this past week, and last week as well, last couple of weeks, which I rediscovered in my library. You have some books that you read, some books that you intend to read, and some books that you're never going to read, but you have them anyway, And this was in that intended little book in that pile, I guess, and I finally got to that one. And it talks about all the higher and lower criticism of the scriptures from back around World War I and then after World War I, between World War I and World War II, and then after World War II. And how all these scholars had all these grandiose ideas why the writers of the Gospels wrote them, and they didn't pay attention to what the fact that they were eyewitnesses, that Matthew was there, and that Mark was there, and that John was there. They didn't pay attention to that. they just went into the strategies. Now, I wonder why they wrote this. Well, they probably wanted, you know, Christ to look good, so they made this up and they made that up. And they totally ignored common sense. They totally ignored eyewitness accounts. The three eyewitness accounts particularly, and Luke, you know, whether Luke was there all the whole time or not, we don't know, but Matthew, Mark, and John were 12 of the disciples, three of the 12 disciples. And the higher and lower critics of Germany just threw the idea out that they were possibly eyewitnesses. And of course, totally made their credibility quite vain and void, you know. It's common sense that if you have an eyewitness, you should listen to their account, you know. And it's common sense for the Jews that they should love the Lord with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their mind and with all their strength. The Jews were accused by Christ of, when they talked about your disciples aren't washing their hands when they eat the corn. You know, your disciples aren't cleansing themselves. You know, and they had put all these traditions above the Word of God. They put all these traditions above the Word of Moses that Moses had written. And that wasn't common sense. That was putting the people into captivity. And Jesus straightened them out on that one real well. But we need to love the Lord with our mind. With our mind, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and then with all our strength. What are we doing for the Lord to show our love for Him? And these four things. And Jesus responded right from the word that He inspired. You know, He inspired Moses to, or He actually, God Himself said it, you know, told Moses these things. And Moses simply was the recorder of it. Jesus just simply reiterated what had been told Moses thousands of years before. So the scribe should have recognized that it was a good answer. And he says, with all thy soul, in verse 33, and with all thy strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. Kind of like when Samuel said to Saul, what's the bleeding of sheep in my ears? You know, all the people wanted to sacrifice, people had to save these for sacrifices, you know. And it says, isn't to obey is better than the sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And this scribe was very close, except whatever the scribe said was head knowledge, wasn't it? Jesus says, you're not far from the kingdom. You're not far from the kingdom of God. He didn't say he was there yet, because he was one of the lackeys of the Pharisees that kind of brought up the question. And or maybe he didn't bring the question up, but he was the one of the lackeys of the Pharisees that was there to harass the Lord. So it wasn't coming from his soul that he said that. It was coming from his mind that it came, perhaps, and he reiterated what Moses had recorded. But Jesus, when he saw that he answered discreetly, he said to him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. You know, we have an opportunity, as we were talking, as Jason mentioned, we had the meeting last Sunday night regarding the building here. And also the discussion we had about the parking lot over in Lake Avenue and the strip of land in between, you know. And we're at an interesting point in our assembly here. You know, we are going to possibly be selling perhaps that lot, might be selling or giving away that strip of land and buying this property back here, which we voted on buying. But I had down in my notes here, secondly is namely like this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How do we love ourselves? You know, it says you should love your neighbor as yourself. But of course, how do we love ourselves? And then secondly, who is our neighbor? Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. For the young people, one of the clues last week at the maze that Jonathan took them through was who was the first one that met the Samaritan, that saw the Samaritan in the ditch? That was one of the questions. Who is our neighbor? We're considering how to handle this walkway strip across the street. How we handle it is going to affect our reputation in Blaisdell. How we handle that strip of land. Okay? And I think it's something we really have to meditate on. We voted on it Sunday. But it's something we need to consider, how we handle that strip of land. We've got a neighbor to the west. We've got a neighbor to the north. We've got a neighbor to the northeast, the American Legion Hall. You know? And how we handle that will affect our reputation in the community before our neighbors. We must act judiciously. It will be a reputation-damaging action if handled imprudently. Three neighbors, one strip of land. I think we need to consider how we handle that situation, because it's we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. There's two neighbors that we've heard talk of over the past couple of years that we haven't loved as ourselves. And we need to consider how we offer this property before we go ahead and make any decisions, ultimate decisions. I also had down here our home life with respect to these commandments. Common sense things like treating spouses. Bethel and I have had a lot of dialogue on this over the past couple of weeks. Children and parents, from picking up after ourselves to snoring. We haven't talked about that. We just act on it. From isolation to communication. You know, how do we handle ourselves at home? I spoke last Sunday regarding our neighbors adjacent to us. But what about within our own walls? How do your children perceive you? They're neighbors too. Some of you are in the throes of raising teenagers and battling adolescent hormones. You probably feel backed into a corner sometimes. We went through that. Children and teens, how do you feel about yourselves? Or how do your parents perceive you? It goes both ways, see? But it all fits into this passage about loving your neighbor as yourself, because the closest neighbors we have are the ones within our own walls, in our homes. I had down children and teens, how do your parents perceive you? How do you love them? Do you love them as yourself? Do you love yourself? You know, that's a serious thing. We can't really treat people outside very well if we have a bad self-image. Or a damaged self-image. So that's something that Moses didn't even address there. God didn't even address in the Old Testament. But that's a critical thing too. Do you love yourself? Otherwise, how can you love them? Even if I see myself unloved, do I love others? How am I ordering my days to show Christ as I live day by day? How am I ordering my days to show Christ as I live day by day? What is the relevance of Mark 12 to my consideration of those around me in a practically applied way? I had an interesting case with a student yesterday. And first the kid behind her had given her a raisin, and she was chewing the raisin, and then she started talking, and then she started choking. So I was walking into the storeroom to get a glass of water, and she says, "Oh, I'm okay, I swallowed it." I turned around and walked back out in the classroom. About 2 minutes later, she says, "Oh, I'm choking again." So I let her go down and get a drink down at the drinking fountain. You know. Well, turns out she was choking. But I didn't know that because she was, it was like the story of the wolf, the girl and the wolf that cried wolf a couple times. So she's been, whether she was really choking or not, I'm not even sure now. Because when she came back the next day, she made a big scene out of it to the girl next to her that had been absent. And she had come back right away from the drinking fountain, by the way, on Tuesday. But she made a big scene Wednesday, of course, with her girlfriend who was absent the day before. And I think I caught her girlfriend laughing about it, so I'm pretty sure it was a big fake job. But, you really don't know how to handle, sometimes you don't know whether things are serious or whether things are not serious, And I second-guessed myself a few times on that before I saw her girlfriend laughing about it. Just in closing, Mark Coletta's grandma passed away. And at the Jason, I think, came in about the same time that I don't know whether it would be Mark's cousin. One of the other grandchildren, so it would be probably a cousin, right, is a pastor out in California. and I think or Colorado, and he gave a eulogy about they called the lady Gigi, and I found out after about 10 years of knowing this woman that meant great-grandma. I didn't even know that before that, but that's okay. But her name, Antonia, was it? Rose? Yeah, Antonetta. And they always called her Gigi, and I had no clue about that because I wasn't in the family, you know. But so anyway, Mark's cousin mentioned the fact, a very nice eulogy Tuesday night, about the fact that she had touched each one of them by her love. She had touched each one of them by her love. And I wasn't even thinking about that when I was getting into this message a while back, because it hadn't happened yet. But being one, she was one who loved each of them, one who loved all of them, and his prayer was that her love would so touch each of the survivors so that they would love each other with the same effect as Grandma had on him and on them. And that's very similar to the way the Lord admonishes us to love our neighbors as ourselves, love one another as ourselves. We need to love one another as the Lord loved. And I just want to share those thoughts with you tonight. Some of it was common sense, but others of it were commandments by the Lord that we should show our love, show Christ's love as we go out from this place. Jason?